All right, everybody, what's going on? It's Thursday. That's right, Thursday. Totally Driven Thursday. And actually, it's Totally Driven Radio Rocks Thursday. That's right, TDR Rocks, we're live. It's Bay Ragney. And got a special show for you. Usually on Thursday night, we're live. Totally Driven Radio, myself, Nick Wilkinson, and Jimmy Giannetti, we're live. And we have our normal show of antics, fun, hijinks, interviews, news, etc. But it is the holiday break, so we're not doing our live shows, so I have a little backlog of interviews to fill in for Totally Driven Radio Rocks. So here we are. So I hope everybody's having a happy Thursday. Hope everybody's having a happy holiday season as well. And we're going to do some rocking tonight. We're going to do some rocking Jeff Tate style, Queensryche style. We're going to do the best of both worlds. And we're going to do my interview with Jeff that I taped last week. And, wow. You know, it's kind of crazy. And I said this to Jeff, early on in the interview, that, like, as I was preparing for the interview, you know, you think to yourself, like, and this could be for any band, like, you just think of those moments over time that just stand out, that have stuck with you with certain bands. And I had a good handful of moments of Queensryche memories, Jeff Tate memories, and I had to share them with him. And it was just, you know, thinking way back to 30 plus years ago. It's been a long time, hasn't it? So listen to me share my moments with Jeff. Listen to Jeff share his moments with me. And it's kind of a weird interview, because you know, as I was doing my research and I'm looking at, like, all the stuff that Jeff is involved in or talks about or articles about Jeff, every single freaking article is about the breakup with Queensryche. Well, it's been like 5-6 years now. Let's get over it. Let's move on. Like, let's talk different stuff. So that's what we did. We talked different stuff. I mean, we talked the new album, New Reality. We talked actually his daughter Emily, her singing, her band, which he's having go out on tour with him. We talked all types of goofy stuff. It was a fun interview, just shooting the shit, bottom line. I mean, we talked even about his different hairstyles, how he laughs at his different hairstyles over the years, and he just shaves his head now, and he thinks it's so much easier. So it's just a fun interview, and I can't wait for everybody to check it out. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play some classic Queensryche. I'm going to play a few of my favorites of classic Queensryche. Then we're going to do our interview, and then we're going to play a few songs from the new album, New Reality. So let's do this. Let's go all the way back in time. Let's do it. Let's start off with the song that really started it off for them, the first true MTV hit for them. Let's take hold of the flames, shall we?
Them by, too late to save a dream that's growing cold. We realize that fate must hide its face from those who try to see the distant signs of unfortune. We'll be right back.
Generating Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and there you go. That was Queensryche, and that was a song which I mentioned to Jeff that I had a musical epiphany at one of their shows with, and that was Empire. Before that one, we did probably my all-time favorite Queensryche song, Walk in the Shadows, and we kicked it off with Take Hold of the Flame from The Warning. Freaking classic. So, all right, so here's what we're going to do. I got to take a commercial break. I got to just give me 3 minutes of your time. Let me take my commercial break. Let me pay my bills. Let me share my sponsors with you. And let me keep the music going, the interviews going, the network going, and the power on here at Totally Driven Entertainment. And on the flip side, we're going to go right into our interview with Jeff Tate. And then we're going to close out with some songs, like I said, from A New Reality. And then I'm going to come back and say my goodbyes. So just 3 minutes of your time. And then we go to Jeff Tate. So, and also check out my lead-off sponsor right here especially. His name is Chris Fraley, and he's a superhero, and he's a friend of mine, and he's a comedian, and he's Black Man. Check him out, ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause. www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
And there he is, the one and the only, Jeff Tate.
Speaking here.
How are you
present.
Doing? Present.
Doing good.
Here.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you perfect.
Cool.
you know, I got to tell you, man, it's as I was going through, getting ready for the interview and all, it was like a Rolodex of musical memories just coming to me. And it was funny. I was just like, wow, like I shared so many memories of Jeff Tate and Queensryche through the years. Like my second concert ever being Queensryche with Kiss in 84, being a 15-year-old kid working in a restaurant, washing dishes, listening to the first Queensryche EP for 8 hours nonstop, four songs over and over. It was just wild. It was just like, wow, so many amazing memories. And even later in life, seeing you guys and just like having like a musical epiphany, like, holy shit, this is such amazing music. So it was just that, you know, thank you for those moments in life that I still remember.
Well, thank you. That's a nice trip down memory lane there. Do you remember where the Kiss Queensryche show was?
At the Philadelphia Spectrum.
Oh, okay. Do you remember me falling down?
Ooh, no.
During that show? Oh, okay. I did a spectacular fall on that tour. They had a really interesting stage set up that had a thrust that started at about 6 feet and then went down towards the audience and ended up to be about a foot off the ground. And so it was sloped. And I really had a difficult time with that, you know, performing on a sloped stage like that. And one night I did a spectacular jump up in the air, land on the ground, but didn't really land right and ended up falling and then rolling down the entire length of the thrust onto the ground below.
Oh, wow.
And followed me the whole way down. It was spectacular. And I leapt up. I'm okay. And the crowd cheered. It was an amazing moment. I just wish I had a football in my hand or something, you know, like that.
Hey, at least it was before the days of cell phones and it wasn't caught on camera, right?
Yeah, yeah. And following me around the rest of my life, you know, like other things I've done.
Oh, man. So, I mean, you've come a long way. New album's out, new reality. And I got to tell you, like, and right off the bat, like, and I was just listening to it before you called in. There's a song that just jumps out at me. I think it's such a beautiful song. And it's A Guitar in Church.
Mm-hmm. You like that one, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Especially since there's not a lot of guitar in it.
There's no guitar in it.
Yes. So with doing like these concept albums, is there any chance, like, no, I know you're putting like the story to music and all, but doing like books to accompany this, like later on in life or something like that? Or,
well, you know, writing a book is a whole lot more work than writing like lyrics to a song. I tell you, you know, I think maybe you have, you know, a couple paragraphs to a song and then repeats of the words, you know. And with a book, you know, that's thousands and thousands of words. Boy,
yeah,
sounds like a chore. I have a lot of respect for people who write books, I tell you. I don't know, maybe in my really old age, because I have to stop saying old age because I'm at that point now, so I have to say in my older age, maybe I'll do something like that.
Yeah, I just, you know, with doing the concept albums, I mean, I just always felt like, wow, like, because you got to really, I guess, approach it so differently, don't you? Like, from the lyrical standpoint, like, keeping the story at a pace.
Yeah, yeah, you have to sort of pace it, you know, to pace the music to fit. You have to choose the right music for the right moment. And you have to get from, you know, point A to point B, which is really challenging, I think. Yeah, it's a big job, but you know, I enjoy it. I like to create these sort of puzzle pieces, if you will,
right,
where, you know, things all kind of come together at some point and maybe from a number of different angles or a number of different, you know, musical perspectives. I like to bring things home to a point. So yeah, it's one of the things I enjoy about music writing, which is just one of the many things. I love it, actually.
Now, I guess it would almost kind of be like doing like a score to a soundtrack almost to a point too as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there's similarities in scoring. I worked on a film. What was it called? It was Arnold Schwarzenegger film years ago with Michael Kamen, who was working pretty closely with my band Queensryche at the time. And Last Action Hero, yeah. And
okay.
We worked with him scoring that film. And it was really an interesting process, you know, to match a melody and, you know, to a scene and
right.
having them reoccurring, kind of like assign a melody or an instrument to a different character in the film. And then every time that character shows up, you have that melody appear again or that sound, that instrument.
Right.
And that sort of represents the character. And you try to put the instrument or the melody in different situations each time to make it interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of really, really neat things about scoring.
Yeah, it sounds cool. Sounds tedious though.
yeah, it's detail oriented. Yeah.
Nice. Now, actually I saw, the plan for 2018 is to do a lot of touring now behind this album. Seems like you won't be coming, doing the States, though, until later in the year.
Yeah, you know, somewhere around summertime, I think, August, something like that is the plan for North America. Yeah, it's, you know, it just takes me a while to get everywhere. It's a big world.
Now, the thing that was kind of surprising, too, is it sounded like in the future, musically, like you're kind of uncertain, like a direction to go.
I am every time I finish a project. Yeah, I never really know what I'm going to do until I do, you know, and then something hits you, you know, something sparks your interest and sets you off in some direction that you find yourself in. And then, you know, a year later, you've got this music that you've
right.
written over the time period or where whatever. And there's always this, this drifting feeling that you have, I have at least, I've talked to other musicians too that are writers, and you don't know what you're doing. So you're in kind of like a sponge mode, you know, where you're just kind of soaking stuff up and seeing what interests you. There's a lot of interesting stuff though. Nowadays we're living in a very interesting time.
It's just
unprecedented time, really, you know, fascinating.
It really is. It's a treat. Watching the news at night just kind of makes you scratch your head, like, wow.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's everything's coming up front for us now. It's like you're talking about the age of cell phones and video recording and that kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, it's on us now. We're kind of face to face with the big mirror, looking at ourselves objectively and critically, you know. And it's just kind of, I think it's one of those growth periods in human history where we're moving into a new area now, a new reality, if you will, of what things are going to be like, and new rules are being drawn up and new lines in the sand and new ways of operating. You know, it's like a reboot of the operating system. It's like we're pushing all these old ideas away finally and moving on. Like, you know, at one time it was okay and acceptable to own people, to have slaves. And
right.
now we look at that, you know, with our 21st century eyes, and we say, well, that's ridiculous. How could people even think that way? You know, what were they thinking? What primitive people, what primitive minds they must have been, you know? And that goes for so many situations, like women voting, you know, women in the workplace. That was unheard of. And now
right.
we look at that with our 21st century eyes, and we say, well, of course, why can't women be part of the workplace? They're you know, a very important part of society, you know?
Yeah.
And, we're looking at all those situations now with critical eyes and figuring out, well, who are we? What do we believe? And it's not just individuals doing this. It's our country, you know?
Yeah.
The whole America is looking at itself critically. And the world is looking at itself critically, too. You know, everybody's growing to a certain extent, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely – it's really interesting. And it's – you know, I guess – technology got ahead of us, and now we're like trying to catch up with that to even things out and like really right some wrongs finally.
Well, I think anybody that believes that things are going to remain the same is really looking at life in existence unrealistically. I mean, we're busy little humans. We're moving fast. We're changing things up. And technology, communication technology specifically, is just giving us this hard look, you know, at what we are. And we're looking at stories that are happening around the world in real time now, where before it would take months for stories to sort of circulate through society. Now it's a matter of hours, you know, and everybody's talking about the same subject. And it's like a world dialogue, a world conversation that's going on. And man, it's exciting and fascinating, you know, as long as everybody keeps their head and doesn't get so emotionally tied up in things. That's the trick, I think, is try to be objective and look at things rationally.
You know, it's kind of funny you said that. Like, right away, I just thought to myself, like, you know, back in the days of the print magazines where they were such a huge part of the music industry, I guess, like, back then it was kind of the norm where you, like, say you did an interview back then for Circus magazine, you know, and then it would take like a 3-month, 4-month turnaround for that interview to finally hit. And now it's just like you do an interview and boom, 24 hours, it's out there.
Oh, yeah. And you do an interview the next day and the journalists are asking you about what you said yesterday, you know?
Yeah.
Just immediately. Yeah, it's all different now. It's all changed.
Do you like the process now where it's more instant, or did you like that little lull or that little break in between?
Well, I think it's just what you get used to. You know, and that's, I think, a valley that we often get stuck in, is we get comfortable doing something a certain way or living a certain way, having the job that we started out with that we really like. Well, everything changes. I mean, you cannot keep and expect this to have the same job that you had, you know, 10 years from now. You can't expect it. It's just, it's an impossibility. Everything's changing and people get so worked up. Well, they're taking our jobs away. Yeah, they're going to do that. I mean, that's inevitable. We live in a capitalistic society. And what's the number one rule of capitalism? Make money, right? Make money no matter what. No matter what. And that means if you lose your job, well, that's part of the society you choose to live in. You know, you don't like it, go someplace else or vote to change it, you know?
Yeah, if the vote will count, like with the whole net neutrality thing yesterday, everybody's freaking out.
Yeah, well, they should have freaked out, you know, 4 months ago when they were talking about this, or nobody was talking about it, actually, and it snuck up on us now, you know, and guess what? Everything's changing, and the way we've been accustomed to, you know, living with the internet is radically going to change here, and it's because of capitalism. You know, we love it. That's what we're here for. That's what America was built on, you know? And, if that's got to change, then it will change. If it doesn't, and people still embrace the idea of, you know, winning no matter what, no matter who suffers or who gets hurt, well, peace, that's the way it is. Cause that's the consensus of the many.
Yeah. It's scary. It's
sorry.
What's going to happen?
Very rock and roll, is it?
Hey, you know what? I mean, but it's different though, because how many times can you answer the same stuff over and over? Like, I mean, how many times do you get asked about Queensrÿche and people ask you about the breakup? I mean, it's the same thing over and over, isn't it?
Yeah. Or here's the big one. Why'd I cut my hair? I had such pretty hair. Why'd you cut it? You look better with your hair longer.
Come on, really?
What?
You actually
what's that got to do with the music I'm writing? What's that got to do with anything? Well, it's important to some people, I suppose.
Wow. There you go. The hairstyles of Jeff Tate. Why?
Yes.
Or how about, why do you have a goatee now? Why did you decide to go around with a goatee?
Yeah, or why did you go to A sharp on that fourth bar of that particular song? Because I wanted to. It sounded good to me. I can even ask a question like that. Now, if you want to see something interesting, funny, humorous, check out my hairstyles over the years. I have lately, because I've been making this sort of commercial of my life, for this project I'm working on, and I have to take these photographs of myself and upload them into a video, you know. And I tell you, you look at 37 years of being, you know, in the band and traveling around the world and people taking photographs of you. I've got some pretty interesting hairstyles over the years. Wow.
Which was your favorite?
I don't look the same in any photo. Oh, I don't know. I don't really have a favorite. Having no hair is incredibly comfortable, for one. I mean, there's no muss, no fuss. You know, you can get right to your day. It's sort of that concept, like, was it Einstein who had all the same clothes, you know, hanging in his closet, so he didn't have to, like, mix and match or think about what he was going to wear that day. He just wore the same thing, you know. And having no hair is kind of like that. You don't have to, you know, worry about styling it or what it's going to do in the rain or the wind or whatever, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like, years and years of long hair, and then when I finally cut it off, I was like, wow, like, this is what I've been missing all these years? It's so easy.
Yeah, well, you know, you have all that, you know, expensive hair products, and you have the mechanics of the tools you need to style it, the blow dryers and the curlers or whatever, you know, and man, it cuts into a big part of your day. You spend like 20, 30 minutes dealing with it every day. And then, you know, all through the day you're fussing with it and, you know, screwing around with it where you could be doing other things, you know, like making music or writing something or working, you know, or working. Anyway,
now,
this is a really good justification for balding, huh?
Oh, boy. Now, did I see
I like
too? You
say,
have a.
I like to say that I'm not bald. I'm just shaved. There's a difference.
You do the self shave.
Oh yeah. Well, there's a difference between being bald, which is, you know, loss of hair, and there's a difference between that and shaving your hair. You know, shaving your head. You know.
Oh, boy.
I think there is. Isn't
now,
there?
Oh, huge. Huge, big time.
Yeah.
It, when you're doing it on your own free will, it's a lot. it means.
I
more.
Guess what I'm saying is I do have a choice. You know, I could grow it out, which takes months, or just shave it off because it's easy and looks good every day. You know.
So now, how do we get on
this topic? I brought this topic up, didn't I?
You brought it up.
I know. I can't believe I brought it up. Okay. What do you want to talk
about?
Did
I see you have a new song coming out, like a separate single that you did for charity?
Yeah, I did. I do. Yeah, it's a song called The Way the Wind Blows. And it's a song that I'm giving to charity, a specific charity. It's a charity called Mercy Watch, which focuses on the homeless situation in America, and all the proceeds of the song royalties will go to Mercy Watch and funding their incredible project, which is doctors and healthcare professionals and counselors that actually go out and do street work and find homeless people and counsel with them and try to help them become part of, you know, the capitalistic system, you know.
Right.
We all love
to get the people off the streets and back into the world of capitalism.
Workforce.
And yeah.
They
might fight you on it,
I think, well, a lot of them do. A lot of people choose that life, and a lot of people don't. There's a lot of mental illness out there. In fact, it's what I found dealing with Mercy Watch is that it seems to be about 50-50. Mental illness and addiction is are the two problems specifically with people, and they just get to a point where they, you know, can't function and they have to do something. And the only way the only thing they can do is hit the street. You know,
right?
It's a sad epidemic, and I use the word epidemic on purpose because it's something that everyone in the country is experiencing, not just the people that are homelessness or experiencing homelessness, but everybody else too, having to see them and deal with them and the feelings you have you know, what do I do? You know, do I give them change, or is that adding to the problem? And, you know, it's a constant daily struggle that we all face, you know. And is that going to be me soon out there with them? You know, am I going to end up in a tent somewhere because I, you know, I can't pay for the health care that I need? You know, because, again, we live in this capitalistic society who, you know, people got to win and make money no matter what, and you can't win if you're giving away money to social welfare, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a theme, isn't there, I'm going with here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we get from hairstyle to the decision on what to do for the homeless.
Yes. All in the space of a minute.
How about that? Now, what is the song? Is it, was it like something that was going to be on this album, on the New Reality, or just a separate song?
No, I live in a city, and I am faced with homelessness every day. Massive homeless population in the city I live in. And it's just something that got to me, you know. And I met a man named Dennis Kelly, who was in charge of and put together Mercy Watch, and we became friends and talking about the issue and the problem and the challenges. And I just found it to be a situation that needed to have something done to it. So recently I played a concert and raised money for the for Mercy Watch, and also I'm donating this song. I haven't released it yet. It's close to being finished. But the song came out of my experience with observing and firsthand being affected by the homeless population in my town. Which it's not the first time I've done something like that. I wrote a song years ago on the Empire album about a homeless woman that I knew who lived in the doorway of the building next to me. Her name was Della Brown. And I wrote a song about her situation and my observation of her situation.
Oh, wow. Huh. And that's kind of wild that, like, you, first name, like, basis, you knew her, and all these years later, you're still, she kind of left a mark with you.
Yeah, well, she did, because I saw her every day and talked to her. And then, I mean, for several years, you know, and then one day she was gone. And never saw her again. Didn't know what happened to her. Nobody knew. You know, just one of those weird mysteries, you know, that happens. And always wondered, you know, what became of her.
Wow. Now you got me wondering.
Yeah, I know.
It's such a crazy issue. It really is. Like when you see them, the homeless, like, you know, you walk by them and you really do. It's the first thing you ask yourself, like, do I give them money? Like, are they going to use it for something that they shouldn't be doing? Like, what do you do? Like, it's such a, you're struggling with it in your head before you're even like get near them.
Yeah. And then you feel guilty about whichever decision you make, you know?
Right.
You feel callous because you didn't help, and you feel helpless when you do, you know. It's an odd situation, and there's no easy answer for it. That's the other thing. It's a complex, you know, compounded problem that faces our society, and it's not something we can really, you know, sweep under the rug anymore. It's just in our face all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not just localized. It's everywhere in the country, you know. I was talking to somebody in Hawaii last week on an interview, and they were saying they have a massive homeless problem in Honolulu. And I can see that, because if I was homeless, I'd try to go someplace warm, you know, where I could live on the street comfortably, and I wouldn't be in Seattle or Minnesota or Chicago or someplace like that if I could help it, you know. Well.
Oh, boy. So I guess right now you're just enjoying life at home with the family and the holidays, and then early next year you kick off on tour? Or?
Yeah. Well, you know, I have a big family. I've got five daughters and grandkids now, and their husbands and all that, in-laws and everything. So we have a big Christmas at our place. And And then we're gearing up to actually start the tour. My first date is January 11th in Dublin. So that's right around the corner, and be taking off just right after Christmas to go to Dublin to rehearse for a week with the band and start the tour. So it's pretty hectic around here between, you know, Christmas shopping and album coming out and tour preparations. It's
right.
Hectic.
Now, who's going to be in the touring band? Is it everybody that was on the album? Or
Some of the people that were on the album are going to be on the tour. I keep changing my band around, which is really fun. I get to work with all these new people all the time, which I really like. I've got Scott Motton on guitar is joining me. Kelly Gray is on the road with me this time, too. I've got Kieran Robertson on guitar, who has been working with over the last year, a really talented young Scottish guitar player. Josh Watts, a English drummer, fantastic drummer, joining me. I've got Bruno Sa from Rio de Janeiro on keyboards and guitar and saxophone. And yeah, it's a fantastic band. And actually, we're doing the 30-year anniversary of the first Operation Mindcrime album and performing
nice.
That album in its entirety for the first part of the show. And my for those familiar with the album, there's a wonderful track on the album called Sweet Sister Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's this has a really strong female vocal part in it that my daughter Emily is going to sing with me.
Oh, nice.
So I'm really, really excited about that because we haven't sung together on stage since she was a little kid and joined me on an album tour called American Soldier. And she sang a song with me, and that was like 2009 or 10, something like that. So this is, she's all grown up now, and she has a band called Till Death Do Us Part, which is a fantastic band, and they've got a new album out, and they're going to be opening the shows for us.
Oh, cool. Now, like with that, with your daughter wanting to follow in your footsteps, did you encourage or knowing what the music business is like try to steer, make, like, yeah, maybe you want to choose something else?
Well, a couple things about her. Her name's Emily, and she was really into music as a kid, and she came to me one day and she said, can I play the music in your collection? And I said, yeah, just take whatever you want. And she took it all. She took every album I had and just went through everything. She got like this, you know, A to Z of you know, history of rock, you know, and just absorbed it all. And then when she was nine, you know, I asked her to sing this duet part with me on a song called Home Again on the American Soldier album. And it was great working with her. She really, you know, was a eager learner. And then she went out on the road and toured America with me on that tour. And then, you know, I didn't think anything past that, or she didn't make any more sort of moves, you know, as far as being a musician. And then about, I think it was last year, I was sitting in my living room reading the newspaper, and she walked in. She goes, hey, you want to hear my new CD? And I thought she meant something she bought, you know. And
right.
I go, oh, yeah, sure. And she tosses me the CD, and I look on the cover, and it's her face. I go, you made a CD? She goes, yeah, it's my first album. You know, listen to it and tell me what you think. So I had no idea she was making this record, you know. And she didn't tell me about it. And so I put the record on, and I was really surprised. It's great. It's really good stuff. So I'm having her come out and tour Europe with me this year, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, that's pretty awesome, though. Like, she didn't, you know what I mean? Like, she didn't rely on dad to help me
do
this. Like, she went totally under the radar and surprised you. That's freaking awesome.
Well, I'm really actually happy she did it that way because, you know, it's her own stuff. It's her own art.
Yeah.
And she didn't feel like, you know, she needed to ask my permission or my direction on it. She just followed her heart. And to me, that's the most honest art there is when you make it yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And she did that. And that, you know, she didn't come and say, hey, can you write a song for me? You know, nothing like that. It was all her So it's really her own effort and her own viewpoints and, you know, her own perspective on the world, which I really respect.
That's awesome. Proud papa moment, right?
Yeah.
So in January, you're out of the country, you leave us and you go over there in Europe, and the tape will be rocking Europe.
Yep. We're taking it over. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun year touring. In fact, I'm kind of dedicating myself to trying to get everywhere in this next year, you know, really touring a lot and trying to go to every place I possibly can. I've been to 62 countries now.
Holy cow.
And I'm going to try to add a couple countries to my big list here this year, I hope.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It is a lot.
It's a lot, and it takes a long time to get everywhere, you know?
Do you get to enjoy any of it, or is it just a lot of sitting around and waiting once you get there?
Well, yeah, there's a little bit of that, you know, because it just takes touring. It takes time, you know, to get from A to B, and then you get there, and you got to set up all the gear and, you know, do your sound checks and rehearse parts of the show, and... You know, you're there for the day, and then you leave and go on to the next place. You know, it's a never ending road trip. It just goes on and on and on.
So 2018 will be the never ending road trip, and then I guess 2019, Jeff Tate will sleep and relax.
Yes. Oh, I have no problem sleeping. I sleep real easily. I'm very happy about that. Never had a problem with that.
Now, while you're out touring and all, are you, like, constantly writing, too, or do you wait until you get off the road?
No, I'm kind of like one of those guys that likes to work every day on it. You know, I carry a small studio system with me wherever I go, so I can work and set up. I can set up in 5 minutes and, you know, be ready to go. So, yeah, I like to do that. It beats... sitting around watching TV, you know, gives me something to do.
But there's so much quality television on right now. What are you talking about?
I wouldn't know. Missed it. People ask me all the time, like, you're in conversations with people and they reference a TV show, you know, like Seinfeld or something like that. Remember that show where blah, 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 blah? And I don't. I never saw one episode of Seinfeld, so I have no reference, you know, to what they're talking about. Yeah.
Holy cow. Well, in between Christmas shopping and all that, check out a couple episodes of Seinfeld. You might enjoy some laughs.
Yeah. That's what people tell me. I'm missing out.
And then you'll get fucked in, and then you'll be like, oh, see, what'd you do to me?
Yeah. Well, I went and saw Star Wars last night, the new Star Wars film. And I fell asleep. Darn it.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm that guy in the movie who, in the quiet scene, is snoring, you know? My wife is elbowing me, you know, wake up! You paid $22 to see this, and you're sleeping.
Oh, too funny. Too freaking funny. So, all right, so let's get the plugs out there. Where should everybody go to get the new album, New Reality? Where's the best place to go for everybody?
Gosh, I don't know. I don't know where people buy that stuff anymore.
Harry?
Apple, iTunes. That's where I get all my stuff, really. So I don't know. Wherever you buy music, you know, it's there, I'm sure. And you can find out more, of course, on the Jeff Tate Facebook and jefftate.com or Operation Mindcrime Facebook or operationmindcrime.com. It's all that information is there, all our touring schedules, too. So if we're coming to your town, come by and say hi.
Absolutely. Hope to see you in Philadelphia again next year.
Yeah, I love Philadelphia. It's a wonderful city. We know we recorded part of the Operation Mindcrime album there, the first one.
Really?
Yeah, in a studio that I don't think is there anymore. It's called Victory Studios.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, a lot of stuff in Philly has changed, though, especially involving music.
Sure. Yeah. Everything's changed. That's a weird thing. Like, if you go on tour for a year and you come back, things are different in the city you live in. Like, I went to go to my favorite restaurant, and the whole city block had been taken down, and they were building a high rise there.
Holy shit.
Wow. Radical.
Wow. That's something like people don't even probably think of. Like, yeah, you guys are, they're thinking, oh yeah, you guys are out living the life and being rock stars and this and that. And then they don't realize, like, you know, well, you come back home and everything's different.
Yeah. Things really change quick, you know, over a year. It's crazy. Wow. Yeah. Well, Philadelphia definitely on the radar for, the upcoming tour, and we'll be there probably in the summer. So when it's nice and humid and hot, you know, come see us.
Come sweat with Jeff Tate.
That's right.
Nice. Well, hey, Jeff, hey man, seriously, honor talking to you. Glad we got to do this. Hope you and the family have an amazing Christmas and safe travels for the new year.
Thank you. And thank you for the interview, and happy holidays to you too. Take care.
You too, man. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Achieved. I paid the side of the line. Don't return or try to fight. You might want to see what I've got inside. Now that I've recovered, the world will see there's something here gonna set us free. Keep it inside. It makes me sick. If I fall down, better end this quick. 'Cause I'm stopped to wonder.
Generator Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and there you go, off a new reality that was called Under Control. Before that, a tune that I brought up to Jeff in the interview that I thought was just a truly a beautiful song, even though there's no guitar in it, but it's called A Guitar in Church, and it's an instrumental. And before that, another tune off of it, it's called Wake Me Up. So there you go, there is our Totally Driven Radio Rocks Jeff Tate special. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you liked it. So I hope you liked the show. And thank you. In case you haven't heard, I know a lot of my regular listeners already know this, and my friends tuning in. Thank you. There was a contest here in Philadelphia by the Philly A-List group. Excuse me. And they had all different categories for the best in Philly, and one of the categories was best radio personality. And lo and behold, by your support, I won. And I'm just blown away, and it's just an amazing, amazing experience right now that I'm going through, and I'm so happy about it, and I can't thank you all enough, seriously. So, for more information on myself, Totally German Radio, Totally German Entertainment, TDR Rocks. Just you can look me up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's Bay Ragni. It's BayRagni. Or like us, love us, follow us. Totally German Entertainment or Totally German Radio. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our website, totallydriventv.com. Again, thank you, everybody. I hope you all have an amazing holiday. I got some more interviews. I'll be getting out there next week after Christmas for everybody. And Totally German Radio will be returning live January 11th. So stay tuned for announcements on guests and info, et cetera, et cetera. Again, happy holidays, happy New Year's, and stay driven, everybody. See ya.